the question and answer program everyone enjoys.
I would say yes.
That's right.
That's right.
Here are the questions.
1-300-800-222. 1-300-800-222. Hop on the phone lines. Goodness me, Maria, Di, Ray in the Bay, Diana, Grover, Paul, all hot in on the SMS with the correct answer. Let's see if Grant in Waterloo also has the correct answer. Hey, Grant.
Hey, Suzanne, how are you? I had an inkling, and no, I haven't Googled the answer, so all I could give you is the century and then hopefully have a guess on it. But, yeah, I thought with the fire, I thought, oh, yeah, it's going to be a great London. I think it's 16, and then this is the guess bit. I think is it 1666?
Well done, Grant. It is 1666. Okay.
I wasn't sure about the last bit, so I had 44 in there, and I was like, whoa, flipped the other one. Anyway.
Well, maybe you can remember it if we think 666 is the devil's number, and the devil lives in a fiery hole, doesn't he?
He does indeed. He does indeed, yeah.
All right.
And then there's the Battle of Hastings, 1066 too, so
yes,
use that as a marker. Mm.
That's also a phone line extension at the ABC that you call if you want to book a line from one studio to another.
That's well, there you go. Is that just a vowel for the great James Valentine? But when he was doing a chat with a guy down in Melbourne, is it true that the two of them put out a number that somehow caused the whole thing of the whole talkback radio to crash in Sydney and Melbourne? I can't remember the guy's name that James had him on. And they gave out a talk number, and they thought, oh, that won't make any difference. But supposedly,
this isn't something that I remember, Grant. When is this meant to have happened?
Oh, this was a couple of years ago.
I mean, I remember the big occasion when the everything went dead and no one could do anything, and Rod Quinn was left talking in the studio, you know, by himself. But no.
Oh, well, yeah. No, it could have been that. It's one of the guys who now does the, he's on Radio National and, I can't think of his name, though. He does a lot of cooking. It's all about cooking and food program. And he used to be a guest on James's program. And for some reason, they gave out a code or a phone number or something.
No, look, Grant, I can't yeah. remember. I can't verify. Does anyone else know this story that Grant is talking about? Yeah. Let's see if we can get an answer for it.
Now, Grant, I'm not just doing an urban myth. Yep, go
could,
ahead.
Could let's, be. Let's go yeah. for question two, hey?
Yep, why not?
What iconic piece of fire station equipment was invented by firefighter David Kenyon in Chicago in the 1870s?
Was it the pole that they all slide down in?
It is the pole that they slide down in, Grant. Yes. Now, this is quite interesting. Now, back in these days, they used to have kind of multi-story buildings for the fire stations. Typically, the firefighters would be on the first floor, and because in this is pre-cars, they'd have horses on the ground floor. And here's an interesting piece of trivia. Apparently, in most fire stations, they had spiral staircases to stop horses potentially climbing up normal stairs. Anyway, they were answering an alarm in the 1870s, and a guy called George Reed, the fireman, decided to use the pole that the company was using to lift the horse's hay. And so he, like, you know, popped that on the ground, slid down it. He got down much quicker than everybody else. And then the company captain, David Kenyon, went, well, this is a clever idea. And he petitioned the department to be allowed to install a pole properly. And then everyone started installing fire poles.
Oh, the use of gravity, hey? That's well done. Yeah, no, well, that's it. Mm.
But apparently there's not too many left. I think I was reading there's only three left in Australia. I think one is on the Gold Coast. I'm not sure where the others are. I think we may even have to get them on for a story and talk
that'd
about their remnant
yeah, that'd
pole.
Be a good one. Mm. Yeah. No, that'd be good. Yeah. All right.
Now, Jane in Homebush says James and Jonathan actually gave out an ABC password.
Yeah, there was something like that, and then it caused the whole thing to crash over once they gave it out, and it was a couple of hours, like a good six or something hours before it all came back on the air, and it impacted both Sydney and Melbourne because the guy, Jonathan was ringing in from the Melbourne thing, so it took out the two, the main cities.
Well, so, naughty, naughty. Now I know, is that Jonathan Green? Was it the slot called Blather they used to do?
That's okay,
we've got there in the end, Grant.
That's it.
Okay, Grant, question three.
Yep.
Which famous building in London's Southwark area burned to the ground in 1613?
I don't think it is, but I'm going to throw and hopefully it's the same as what happened in Sydney. Is it Crystal Palace?
It is not Crystal Palace.
No, I didn't think so. All the best, everyone.
Hey, Grant, nice to talk to you. Look, you got two questions right and we solved a mystery. So
indeed. All the best.
I think that was a successful stay.
It is indeed.
Thanks. There's Grant. All right, let's talk to Mario in Lumia. Hey, Mario.
Yeah, good morning.
Greetings. Adrian and Ray have got this, so does Annette. I gave a little clue if people were listening to the history quiz last night that would enable you to answer this question. Mario, which famous building in London's Southwark area burned to the ground in 1613?
Wow. I have no idea. I'm just going to have a wild guess. St. Paul's Cathedral.
It is not St. Paul's Cathedral.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Mario. Although I understand that in the Great Fire of London, St. Paul's was hit quite badly and there were, I think, rivers of melting lead kind of running into the streets. Yes, Amanda, Sally's got it. Annette in Perth, Morgan, 1-300-800-222 to be part of our fire-themed history quiz tonight. G'day, Steve-O.
Yo, yo, yo. How are you, Suzanne?
Yo to you, Steve. Do you do that to everybody or do you just save that for the radio?
Oh, I do it to quite a lot of people.
Okay, so you're quite well known.
Happy solstice, by the way. It's, daytime star is the furthest north of the celestial equator it gets now, so yeah.
I'm looking forward to the longer nights already, that extra couple of minutes of an evening. Yeah. Now, Steve-O, which famous building in London's Southwark area burned to the ground in 1613?
I'm going to take a guess at the Globe, Shakespeare's Theatre.
It was the Globe Theatre, exactly right. And I did mention that when we did the Shakespeare question in the pop quiz last night. Now, any ideas, Steve-O? This would be impressive. This isn't for an actual point, but any idea what play they were doing when it burnt down?
Don't want to say the name because it's meant to be unlucky.
It's not that one. It's not that one.
It's not the Scottish play?
It's not the Scottish play. No, it was Henry VIII.
Okay.
Yeah, so during a performance, a misfired theatrical cannon ignited the highly flammable thatched roof. The theatre was burnt to the ground. And then when they rebuilt it, they used roofing tiles instead of a thatched roof.
Shakespeare-wise, can I suggest that people look up The Stranger's Case, which is from one of his lesser-known plays. He did a play on Thomas More, it's a fantastic speech there, and it was done by by Sir Ian McKellen when he was on Colbert. And, yeah, if you have a listen to that on YouTube, I think it's absolutely brilliant.
Okay, so what should we look up again?
A speech called The Stranger's Case.
The Stranger's
Case from Shakespeare by Ian McKellen on the Colbert Show when that was still going. Yeah, that was brilliant.
Now, I did mention that the fire poles have largely been removed. Carol from Craigieburn went, lol, they've all been relocated to strip clubs. But Len in Donvale says, the headquarters fire station Eastern Hill in Melbourne has 3 poles. I was fortunate to use them for 39 years as a firefighter there. Bet you needed some practice on those poles, though. And John says, there's a restaurant in Fremantle in an old fire station called the Fire Station, and it has a pole that you can slide down. Excellent. Okay. So we've got Melbourne has a pole. I'm sure the Gold Coast has a pole. If anybody else knows of a fireman's pole that is still extant, do let us know.
I don't know that it counts as a fireman's pole, but there's plenty in a lot of playgrounds around the world and around Australia.
Yeah. Okay, Steve-O, question 4. Who was playing the lyre reportedly while he watched Rome burn in 64 AD?
That will be the emperor commonly known, or the Caesar commonly known as Nero.
Yeah, old mate Nero, the mad old thing. Yeah.
They say that history doesn't repeat, but it certainly seems to rhyme. And, there's a certain Nero equivalent that I think everyone knows who it is around at the moment.
Steve-O, let's move on to question five. Adrian and Ray and Amanda and Di and Elaine and Maria all in pretty sharply with that too. Now, someone's even sent me a link of apparently it must be some audio of James Valentine apologising for the internal ABC password being being shared on live radio. So yeah. I'm going to have a listen to that later.
Better change your password.
Question five. Which German city experienced a devastating firestorm after Allied raids in 1945, which killed up to an estimated 25,000 people?
That would be Dresden. And there's a brilliant report of that in a book by Kurt Vonnegut. I think it was in Slaughterhouse-Five, the description of, the firehouse, the firestorm burning in Dresden. And that was just, incredibly confronting,
We did it this week in history on it a few years ago. God, just the descriptions of the way it just, sucked oxygen out of rooms. It was just, awful. Yeah.
Question. Okay, I was pretty badly too. Yeah.
Question six. The Great Fire, the 1657 of Meiraki took place in which country?
Can I give a shout out to Jeffrey Orr and to my Uncle John if they're listening?
You may. Hey, Jeffrey Orr and Uncle John. Anyway, in which country was the 1657 fire of Meiraki? Meiraki. Help. Meiraki. Where did it take place, the fire? Which country?
I'm going to take a stab at Japan with very little confidence.
No, you should be confident.
It is Japan?
Yeah, it is Japan. Oh. You're good at this fire business, Steve-O.
That was a fluke. Thank you.
Must have been my, terrible pronunciation there. Yeah, it destroyed two-thirds of Edo, the name that was then given to what's now Tokyo. And this is generally regarded as folklore, but it was originally believed to have been started by a priest who was cremating an allegedly cursed kimono that had been owned in succession by three teenage girls who all died before they'd ever worn it. While this garment was being burned, in this story, a large gust of wind fanned the flames and caused the wooden temple to ignite. And that started this absolutely massive fire.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Cool. Question seven. In ancient Greek mythology, who was the god of fire?
Oh, fire. Well, there was Vulcan, who was the god of volcanoes. There was Hestia, who was the god of the hearth. The hearth is in the fire hearth. So I'm guessing it's going to be either Vulcano or, was it Hephaestus? Who was he was the blacksmith god. This is where I'm getting confused because there's a couple of different possibilities. I'm going to go with Hephaestus.
Yes. Hephaestus is correct. Carol says, in grade three, a school excursion to the Melbourne Fire Station, 1975, we all got to slide down the pole. Oh, see, that's something I've never got to do.
Cool.
Anyway, have you ever slid down a fireman's pole, Steve-O?
Only in school as a kid, which didn't really count. It's not a proper fire.
Oh, come on. I don't think I've ever done it, even on a school excursion. I might have to go to one of these fire station restaurants and get a chance to do it. Right. You are doing very nicely, Steve-O. Let me just take stock of where you're at. One, two, three. All right. You've got four questions thus far.
And I think Vulcano was Roman rather than Greek. Because I think, Hephaestus was the Greek one and then Vulcano was the Roman, the Roman equivalent. They took the name. So,
Question eight. The only natural strand remaining of which trees was saved from the 2019 Black Summer fires in New South Wales when specialist firefighters were winched into a canyon to save them?
That would be the amazing Wallamai pines, remarkable trees, and there's a really good book on that tree as well that I forget the title of, but it was a brilliant book that I read a few years ago. But, the Wallamai pine.
The Wallamai pine is correct. Yeah, that's the population that were discovered in 1994, and prior to this, it was thought to be completely extinct in the wild. And so the book, Steve-O, is that about the rescue of the trees during those fires?
It's about the trees themselves. It's about their discovery, about their relationship, their families, and just, I think it's Orocaria nobilis, I think after the discoverer who actually found them, because he went there and he noticed that they had a really interesting different texture on the trunk. This was like bubbly, and yeah, I think it's called King Billy's the main one there, and apparently they're all clones, very genetically limited, small gene pool.
Yeah,
but amazing trees, and yeah, then tied it to a fossil pollen, and there's so much detail and depth in that. It's amazing what there is to learn about just the one species of tree.
Yeah, exactly. But no one's meant to know where they are. There's just a handful of people who know the actual location in order to protect them.
Yeah, and they're threatened by Phytophthora too, which is, yeah, and there's some that, there's actually one at Old Government House in Blair National Park, which is just a seedling that they propagated from it. But, in the wild, in their natural state, they're just a clonal colony that's the one surviving little group.
Steve, you know an awful lot.
Right. I'll read a bit.
Okay, question 9. The failed luxury fire festival of 2017 was initially promoted as taking place on a Bahamian island associated with which notorious crime figure?
Oh, crime figure. I'm not sure with this one. I'm going to have to... Crime figure. I'm going to take a guess at Canadian. No, not Canadian. Crime figure, American crime, a Caribbean crime figure. Pablo Escobar?
Oh, Steve-o, it is Pablo Escobar. Yes, excellent work.
I was reaching for one Caribbean crime figures that I knew, and I was thinking Pablo Escobar had to be about the closest with South America. So,
yeah. All right, your sixth correct question. At the rate Steve-O's going, everyone, we'll be taking a request for fire songs before very much longer. Okay, question 10. The tradition of the Olympic torch relay was introduced at which Olympics?
Oh, you mean the ancient ones or the modern ones?
You tell me. Okay. But I want a city and a year.
City and a year. Well, I think they were originally in Olympia. But the year would be something BC, BCE, or Common Era, and that would be thousands of years ago. So 3000 BCE or 3000 CE, BCE.
Steve-o, I'm sorry, you made a mess of this one.
Yeah, it's not my specialty.
Oh, dear. Anyway, look, that was an amazing run. You got 6 correct. Excellent work.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. Yo, yo, yo. Do you say that when you say goodbye to people as well, or is it really only for greeting?
Really only a greeting.
Okay. We can think of something else, Steve. All right. Thanks for playing.
No worries. Bye.
Bye. A couple of people have it. Actually, no, just Adrian at Bella Vista has it thus far on the SMS. Okay, let's talk to Ewan in Blackburn South. Hi, Ewan.
Hello, how are you?
Well, Ewan, do you know which Olympics this was, that the tradition of the torch relay was introduced?
It was introduced by the Nazis in 1936 Games. It was sort of a propaganda thing.
Yes, which were held in?
Berlin.
Berlin is correct, yeah.
Yeah. So, strange realising that, you know, the Nazis introduced it because they used to have those rallies at night with the torches.
Mm.
Yeah. So,
it's funny, looking at the people lined up tonight, I can see a lot of very, very good players on the line. I really won't be surprised if we get this knocked over in about another 10 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, something I want to say about the bombing of Dresden. When it originally happened, the Nazis claimed 200,000 people died. But it's only been recently that number has been revised down, and they did it by looking at ration cards, and they suspect that only somewhere between 18,000 to 25,000 people died and not 200,000.
Yes.
Propaganda again.
Mm. Well, you know, you and I did give the up to 25,000 people figure.
This call is being recorded.
Oh, hang on. Sorry. That's my phone.
This call is no longer being recorded.
Oh, why?
It's my phone. Sorry.
Why is your phone recording phone calls?
You have it. It's a brand that starts with S, and it's from the Republic of Korea or South Korea,
mm-hmm.
and it has the ability to record phone calls, and often my ear will touch it and just set it off.
This is the thing really with phones these days. They're so hard to control. You know, you set them off, you try to type something and it takes in, does this terrible text and turns everything sensible you've written into absolute garbage, which I see a lot of coming in on the SMS quite often. Okay, Ewan, in which year, this is question 11, in which year were the Ash Wednesday bushfires in Victoria and South Australia?
1983.
That is correct, Ewan. Well. Yeah. Yeah, terrible, me too. Where were you at the time?
Well, I was working in the kitchen in Carlton when I was an apprentice chef, and I just remember knocking off for the day, and the whole area, all of Melbourne, was just covered in smoke, like a thick fog. It was just horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of people I went to school with were killed in that bushfire.
Oh, gosh.
From Panton Hill Fire Brigade. They lost, I think, 11 firefighters.
Oh, no. Yeah. Awful memories. I think I was, I would have been 9, yes. And I can remember driving through in Adelaide. You know, Adelaide's quite flat, but you have the Adelaide Hills that you can kind of see around you from certain parts. Yeah. And I just remember them being red and glowing when all of that was taking place.
Yeah. It was horrible, but not as bad as 2019.
No.
King Lake. Oh, Jesus, that... Because I grew up very close to King Lake and St Andrews, and it left me devastated, that fire. Really did. Shockingly bad. Anyway,
now,
next question,
Ewan, please. I know some of these questions, you know, we can kind of take some humour from, but some of them are really a reminder of the terrible power of fire, aren't they?
Yeah.
Question, where are we at? 12.
Right.
Australia's very first fire services were funded primarily by which companies?
I believe insurance companies.
Insurance companies is correct.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, the fire brigades would only protect buildings that they actually insured, though. And then if they were insured, they would have a mark on them so that when the fireys turned up, they'd go, oh, yeah, we'll protect this building, or, oh, no, not this one. Apparently the Powerhouse Museum in Sydney holds quite a collection of rare Australian fire marks, including original copper house plates from the Sydney Fire Insurance Company. I think there are also some on display at Melbourne's Fire Services Museum of Victoria. I don't know if there are any old buildings that might still have one of these fire marks, but it's a nice piece of history.
There's a building in Melbourne, an original building from the 19th century or something. I'm just wondering if they have one of the. It's on the corner of Lonsdale and King Street, or La Trobe and King Street. And it was built, I think, in 1820. And I'm wondering if they would have one there on their building. Interesting.
Question 13. What fire was started by Dominican monk Girolamo Savonarola in the city of Florence in February 1497?
What fire?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I can think of with probably two was one with a candle or something to do with making alcohol or a vat or something. Or cooking food. I don't know. You got me.
Well, it's
when was it again?
1497.
In Florence.
Yes.
No, don't know.
Well, Ewan, it took a lot to get you. You and Steve, I both did exceedingly well tonight. Thank you very much. Nice to talk to you. He is back again. Brian, you are making this a habit.
Well, I missed on Friday.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, last week was, this has been like four times in the last three weekends now.
Oh, well, I'll have to stop this, won't
no,
I?
No. It's glad to. I'm glad to have you back as a regular, Brian.
Good. I'm pleased that you're pleased.
I mean, the excitement's somewhat diminished when it's not as rare a treat as it has been. But look, it's still a treat, Brian. So, any reports from the Gap Bowling Club this week?
Well, Tuesday was good. Wednesday wasn't quite so good. Saturday was pretty dire.
Oh,
as far as results were concerned.
I see.
And then the people who put the results in the paper put the wrong half the results were wrong, so they missed out on having my name in the paper again.
When you say the paper, you mean what paper do you mean?
Results. The sports results.
Oh, in the Brisbane Courier? Is it the Brisbane Courier? Does it end up in there? Or do you mean like the local paper?
No, the Brisbane Courier Mail or the Sunday Mail.
They publish your bowling club results.
Well, not just our results. Quite a number of bowls clubs results and tennis clubs and such like. Yeah. Oh no, it's nothing. Out of the ordinary, really.
Oh, I know, but you're there in print, Brian. Although you weren't this time because they stuffed it up. So
that's right. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Now, when's your birthday? That is soon, isn't it?
What's the date?
It depends if you're where you are in the country, but it's the morning of the 22nd.
So it's the 22nd, is it?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, which day is your birthday?
Today.
Oh, Brian! All right, well, you just, what are you doing for your birthday? I'll grab your happy birthday music.
Immediately, in the very near future, I'm going to hop into bed. It is.
Okay, but once you get up for the main part of the day, what are you intending to do?
I've got relatives from Canberra coming for lunch.
Now, how old are you going to be, Brian? I know it's a fair achievement, but just what number are you landing on?
94.
No, goodness me, Brian. Okay, here's your birthday song.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you so much.
And look, Brian, it's not just me. Brian, happy birthday. Ross says, happy birthday, Brian, you legend. Julie on the Gold Coast says, I'd like to say a special hello to Brian. He suggested I get a dog to keep me company a few years ago. I was grateful to him. Happy birthday, Brian. Maria says, happy birthday. Someone else is very impressed by the 94. Wow, you're an inspiration. Happy birthday, Brian, says Di and Ray in the Bay. Brian, you're a dead set nightlife legend. All right. All right. Now let's see if you can answer a question for your birthday. Where are we? Okay. What fire did Dominican monk Girolamo Savonarola start in the city of Florence in February 1497?
Does it have a particular name, or is it just a sort of ordinary description of a fire?
Well, I mean, it would want to have a particular name. I can't just go, the church fire, or the...
In Florence.
Yes.
It was before my time, I don't...
Despite your very long life, that's going a little bit far for you.
Going a bit far back. No, I can't think of any fire in Florence that I could suggest to you.
Well, quite a few people have figured it out, Brian, but sadly I can't give you the birthday gift of a correct question. However, there are more messages. Happy birthday from Stephen Tokenwall, from Lynn the Queenslander. Have a great day. Annette says happy 94th. Lozzie and Huntley. I love you, Brian. says Deb in Hobart. Happy birthday to you. Brian is amazing, says Lorella. We can all hope to be as good as Brian at his wonderful age, says Connie. And someone just remembering too that it would have been June from Portland's birthday tomorrow. And you tomorrow. You always used to talk to June, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Yeah. She was just after me. I think Cecil's very close too.
Excellent to know. I don't know if we have any Cecil, Brian. If we did, I would play it for you if we have time for your birthday, but I'm just not sure we can find it.
You've got one. Was it Shenandoah?
Do we?
I think, yes.
Yeah, it just might not be exactly where I would need to find it, but look, I'll see.
We played once.
Brian.
Ages ago.
Happy birthday. Good luck on the
Thank
Bowls Club.
Again, everybody. Yeah, I appreciate all those mentions and calls. Thank you.
Okay, bye, Brian. There is Brian from The Gap. Gosh, some of you have been waiting on a long time tonight. I do appreciate it. One of those is Heather in Neil. Hey, Heather.
Good evening.
Good evening. Heather, what fire did Dominican monk Girolamo Savonarola start in the city of Florence in February 1497?
Well, I'm sure if it was Steve-O, he'd know. I reckon you could spend a week in his library.
Yeah, I'm sure you could.
Yeah. I have absolutely no idea. And congratulations to Brian for it really being his birthday. I've just had my unbirthday.
You mean he's brave to own up to it?
No. I have my birthday on Australia Day, but everybody clears out and goes away.
Oh.
So I decided tonight that I'd have an unbirthday / winter solstice party.
And did you?
Yeah. I'm just looking at the debris left after 50 people have been here.
Oh, wow. Okay, so this was your birthday apartment, like birthday in June kind of thing.
Yeah, this was in lieu of everybody clearing out when it was really my birthday.
All right, well, look, happy unbirthday to you, Heather. Do you also want the music?
No, I don't. Okay. No, I'm going to bomb out on the Great Fire of Florence, and I'm going to guess it was at a brewery.
The Great Brewery Fire of Florence, it was not. Thanks, Heather.
All the best.
Bye. Okay, bye. All right, Anne from Caulfield seems the kind of contestant who might know this. Evening, Anne. And you've been hanging on an awfully long time, Anne.
Yes, but firstly I'd like to say well done to the previous callers. They were amazing. And happy birthday to Brian. I forgot the question.
Okay. What fire did Dominican monk Girolamo Savonarola start in the city of Florence in February 1497?
I think that was the bonfire of vanities, something like that.
It was the bonfire of the vanities. Yeah, he collected and burned thousands of objects such as cosmetics, art and books in the public square of Florence. It was all a kind of big religious thing because he was pretty cranky at all the people who were, you know, spending their time worshipping, well, the vanities, not the things that he thought really mattered. However, he fell out of favour and was excommunicated and then executed, I think, at the end of the next year. So, this was kind of his high before he went out. Okay, Anne. 14. The land management practice known as fire stick farming, involving frequent low intensity burns, is associated with which traditional culture?
Look, I really don't know. I will just suggest Celtic, but I really have no idea.
And it is not Celtic.
I thought not.
But I'm also not trying to trick anybody, anyone who's thinking, huh? Anyway, Anne, thank you.
Thank you. Well, I'm happy at least I got one. Thank you.
Yeah, see you later. Did. All right, bye. Here's Graham in Perth. Hi, Graham.
Oh, hi, Suzanne. You just came through. I think I know the answer to this.
Go on.
I think the answer is the Australian Aborigines use the fire sticks.
Yeah, that's right. I was just looking for Indigenous Australian culture. So you've got that one. Well done.
Thank you.
Graham, question 15. Traditionally observed on November the 5th, Bonfire Night marks the anniversary of which historic event in 1605?
Yeah, that was that man that put the stuff under the Parliament in London. And if I could only remember his name. I'm going to pass just to get this quiz underway. I can't remember.
Oh, all right, Graham. I mean, you kind of know where you're going with that, but that's okay.
All right, thanks for that.
All right, thanks, Graham. We do have a couple of lines that have now come free if you want to give us a shout on 1300 800 222. Elaine in Croydon South, that is correct. Yeah, Lorella. Sorry, some of the autocorrects are please quite funny. Oh, Peasy from Yarrawonga says, any chance of a history of the AFL quiz one Sunday night? I just think there'd be a lot of people who would be I'm not interested in that. And then we'd have to do an NRL one, and goodness me, I don't know our team would know enough to write one of those. Cameron in South Perth. Hi, Cameron.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, doing well, Cameron. Traditionally observed on November the 5th, Bonfire Night marks the anniversary of which historic event in 1605?
The gunpowder plot to blow up Parliament.
Yeah, I was going to accept either the gunpowder plot or Guy Fawkes, so I will take that. Yeah, conspirators, including Guy Fawkes, failed in their attempts to blow up the English Houses of Parliament. 16. Since 1993, which fire-related Australian gift has raised more than $3.5 million for charity?
Give me that again.
Since 1993, which fire-related Australian gift has raised more than $3.5 million for charity?
Well, I suppose it's the foot race. What are they called? The Stalwart gift.
No. It's nothing to do with the stall gift, Cameron. Thanks for playing.
Good.
Okay, bye. Oh, Soft Dog says you could do a football quiz. There's 5 sports to choose from. What would that be, Soft Dog? We could do soccer, AFL, NRL. We could do rugby union. What's the 5th? You're not suggesting we do American football, are you? Ray in the Bay says Guy Fawkes, the only man to enter Parliament with honest intentions. And someone else, yeah, remember the 5th of November, which is how you can remember the date on which the gunpowder plot happened. Right. Roz in Strathalbyn. Hey, Roz.
Hello. I didn't hear your question.
Okay, the question is this. Are you actually, Roz, are you not hearing the show through the phone lines?
No.
Are you getting silence?
Yes.
Oh.
No. Periodically, I get little drippings. Oh.
If anyone else on hold wants to know, are you hearing us okay or are there problems or is it Roz's phone? Because we did have an issue, I think, last weekend where people weren't hearing the show. So if that's happening,
Actually, I don't think it's the ABC problem. Oh. I think it's Vodafone.
Ah, okay. All right. Since 1993, Roz, which fire-related Australian gift has raised more than $3.5 million for charity?
1993 Australian fire gift.
A fire-related Australian gift that has raised more than $3.5 million for charity.
Oh, I can't think of her name. Oh, Dash, no, I'll leave and let's go on to someone else who knows.
Okay, thanks, Roz.
Thank you.
Annette, you are the only person on the SMS who's got it thus far. I actually thought this one was dead easy. John in Bulimba. Hey, John.
Oh, God, here we go. No.
All right. Since 1993, which fire-related Australian gift has raised more than $3.5 million for charity.
No idea at all. Fire-related gift. Sounds
I mean,
like
it could be a gift or you could keep it for yourself. So I suppose, you know.
Oh, no, too strained, that one.
Thanks, John. It will make sense when you find out. Yes, Jane in Hobart, not Hobart, Homebush has figured it out. That don't be, and she says, yum, yum, which you could conceive as a clue, but also don't be sent in the wrong direction by that either. Monica in the Hunter Valley. Evening, Monica.
Hey, hello, and hello to all the midwives, nurses and paramedics that are working tonight.
Monica, since 1993, which fire-related Australian gift has raised more than $3.5 million for charity?
I'm going to guess the scantily clad fire calendars.
You're absolutely on it. It is the firefighter calendars. And do you know this? Australia created the world's first firefighter calendar. We pioneered it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I didn't realise. I mean, we've invented a lot of things. I did not know that was on the list until now. Now, I had a look at the calendar offerings this year. It's not just fire, like plain firemen. You can get plain firemen, I mean, all with their shirts off. You can also get firemen with dogs, firemen with cats, firemen with horses, and there's also like a mixed animals one where it's firemen and each month has a different animal. So they've got like koalas and lambs and goats. But yes, the one constant is that the shirts are all off of the firemen.
The scantily clad.
The scantily clad. The ones that Jane said yum yum to.
They're getting buff off, yeah.
Okay, Monica, we are on to question 17. An eternal flame said to have been lit by Lord Shiva is kept alive by the Dom community, who assist people to cremate the remains of their loved ones in which sacred Indian city?
Oh, dear, dear. I don't know, so I'm going to just have a guess. My son's just come back from 4 months in India.
I'm sure he visited this place.
Yes, okay, I will go, I'd say it'd be up to the north maybe. I might go, I'm blank on the one. There was one in there. I'll just go Delhi, but I know it's not Delhi. There's one up to the north.
It's not Delhi. Yeah. Thanks, Monica.
Okay, no worries.
Bye. Now, Annette says, no, the fireman calendar isn't yum yum. It should be wow wow. Someone says, oh, I appreciated mine greatly. Ray in the Bay says, I've never heard of it. And Diana says, I haven't seen those calendars. Really? Where have you been? One of my cousins brought my grandmother one a couple of years ago, you know, when she was kind of, you know, I mean, older than Brian, but she quite enjoyed having the fireman calendar up in the nursing home. Amanda from Newcastle, that answer is correct. Brian in Nowra. Hello, Brian.
Hi.
Brian, an eternal flame said to have been lit by Lord Shiva is kept alive by the Dom community, who assist people to cremate the remains of their loved ones in which sacred Indian city?
I'm not going to know this.
Can you think of any Indian cities?
I'll say Calcutta.
It is not Calcutta. Thanks, Brian.
Happy birthday to Brian.
Yes, from one Brian to another.
I'm 4 years behind him.
Okay. Wow, so you're 90.
Yeah, no. Well, I will be in a couple of months.
Okay, nearly 90.
And I've been listening to the way we've seen nightlife for a long, long time. And I've only just recently started calling. And it's hard.
See, it's never too late. I know there was one night where we had somebody who rung up and said it was maybe it was their 90th birthday and they were going to ring the quiz for the first time to celebrate. And then someone else thought, well, if they can do it, I can do it. We had someone else also making their first call at maybe the age of 94. Brian, thank you so much. You know, the other thing that's great about this quiz, we have 12-year-olds ringing this quiz. And then we have 94-year-olds ringing this quiz. It's just, you know, we can put aside the politics and we can have this incredible cross-section of the Australian community, all ages, from all parts of the country, all getting together on the quiz, which is just lovely. Yes, there are no shirtless calendars featuring fire women that I know of. But someone's saying, how about a nightlife calendar? I don't think we could do a nudie calendar, us nightlifers, but we could do some kind of calendar, couldn't we, Lockie? We could get Lockie in a fireman's uniform. Maybe we'll go and visit Melbourne Fire Station, borrow their poles, and we can all be decked out in fire station's uniforms. Right. Peter in Ballarat. Hey, Peter.
G'day, Suze. What's this about calendars? Goodness me.
I'm sorry. I'll get things back on the straight and narrow. Question.
That's okay. I'm ready to take photos. Of course we can do a calendar. Not in Ballarat tonight, though. Would it be?
All right. Now, look, it's a respectable calendar, okay? No nudie nightlife calendars, but we could do a calendar.
Not even nipply? No. Carry on.
Question 17. An eternal flame said to have been lit by Lord Shiva is kept alive by the Dom community who assist people to cremate the remains of their loved ones in which sacred Indian city?
Not a temple, a city.
A city.
Okay, I phoned a friend. Uttarakhand.
Whichever city you said, that is not the answer. Thanks very much, Peter. Let's try Nick in Lithgow. Hey, Nick.
Hello there.
Nick.
Is it, we love the ABC, but and Lockie's pretty cool, but is it Mumbai, Bombay, or?
No, it's not Mumbai that I'm after either.
Okay, night.
Thanks, Nick. Margaret in Melbourne.
Oh, good. You said Margaret, did you?
I did say
I only got the ma. Thank you.
Yeah, ma from Melbourne, that's you.
Oh, thanks very much indeed. I only score 92, but I've been listening to Tony Del Roy, but actually the person before that in about 1989, and then Tony came on. So I've won a few little prizes, and I think I've got half a dozen magnets on, sitting proudly on my refrigerator.
Oh, excellent. Well, I'm glad to have you on board tonight, Margaret. Now, do you know the answer to this one? An eternal flame said to have been lit by Lord Shiva is kept alive by the Dom community who assist people to cremate the remains of their loved ones in which sacred Indian city. It's not Delhi, it's not Mumbai, it's not Calcutta.
Well, I guess it's on the Ganges, but look, I'm just going to say Bengal.
It's not Bengal, no.
Oh, well, look, thanks for being part of the show. I enjoy it every night. At midnight, I'm listening every night.
Excellent, Margaret. Very glad to have your very long-standing loyalty. Let's see if Jill in Launceston can grab this one. Hey, Jill.
Oh, hi. I think it's Varanasi.
Yes, it's Varanasi. Where a lot of tourists go to see it, but it's sort of renowned for cremating remains and then putting them into the river Ganges.
Great. So,
but if you're a child or if you're a pregnant woman, they won't burn you and they weight the body down and just put it straight into the river.
Oh, bit of a disappointment.
I don't know. Robin said Robin was not thinking of a nude calendar. Robin was thinking of a photo of the regular callers with clothes on. Oh, yes. That could work. You know, a cheeky photo of Brian with his birthday cake or something. Jill, we've got three questions remaining. Question 18. In which year did Paris's historic Notre Dame Cathedral suffer serious damage after a huge fire swept through the cathedral's roof?
Oh, I can't remember exactly. 2021?
It's not 21.
Right.
Thanks, Jill.
Okay.
Bye. Okay. Bye. Okay, now Carol reckons for the calendar we do all the presenters holding their favourite vinyl album. Someone else reckons we put Phil in a Swans kit. Thanks, David in Singleton. Okay, now we're talking. We can come up definitely with some creative things that the nightlife and ABC crew could do for a calendar. What other ideas do you lot have? Moira in Trafalgar. Hi, Moira.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
The answer to the question is Baranasi.
Oh, we've answered that one, Moira.
Have you?
Yes. Now I want to know in which year Notre Dame Cathedral was burnt. And we've ruled out 2021.
I think it was 2000 and... Eleven?
No, it's not 2011.
Nope. Okay.
No. Thanks, Moira.
No worries. No problem. Okay.
Vicky in Geelong.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Vicky, it's Suzanne.
Yeah, Suzanne on me.
No, that's all right. Now, Vicky, in which year did Paris's historic Notre Dame Cathedral suffer serious damage after a huge fire swept through the cathedral's roof?
2023.
No, it wasn't 2023, Vicky. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Thanks, Suzanne.
Okay, bye. Jim's got it. Annette's got it. Tom in Harvey. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Ian.
Tom, do you know what year this was that Notre Dame Cathedral suffered all that damage when that big fire swept through?
I'm thinking early 2000s or early 2010s. Lock me in for... I think 2000. I'll go 2000.
No. No, way too early. I'll tell you that much. All right. Thanks, Tom. Now, Brenda says, my granddaughter Alice buys me the fireman's calendar every Christmas. I have to act very shocked. She thinks it's hilarious. Yeah. Someone else says, yeah, I've always thought a good idea would be a calendar with some of the more notable nightlifers with their pictures and a small profile piece, face behind the voice. Mike in Oak Park.
Hi, Suzanne. How are you?
Well, Mike, do you know what year this was that Notre Dame suffered all that damage with that big fire?
Well, I rang earlier for Varanasi, but I was obviously too late for that. I'm going to say 2014.
No, it is. I'll tell you this. It's later than 2014.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Mike. I will very quickly try Michael in Berrydale. What year do you think it was, Michael?
I have a guess. 2019.
2019 is correct.
All right, cool.
Michael, you have two questions to answer and you will be the winner of our fire-themed history quiz tonight. Question 19 is this.
Susan, can I just say something quickly? Sorry.
Yes.
I'd like to see you on a calendar.
What am I going to be doing? And keep it nice. Is there any particular...
Just you would be just fine, I reckon.
All right. I could just sit here at the mic. Sorry, Amanda's just saying, I'll wear my socks and Crocs in a calendar. Yeah.
Good one. Sensational.
Good one, Amanda. We should have Master Lash too, posing with a West African map. I think that would be good. Right.
With a Asiatic ball of mirrors behind him.
Yes. Now, a 19, the Krantara... or fiery cross, was traditionally used in which country's highlands as an emergency communication system to warn people of impending danger, command them to rally for battle, or signal a declaration of war?
Scotland.
Scotland is correct, Michael. Part of the Great Library of Alexandria for the win was accidentally burnt by which Roman during the Civil War of 48 BC?
The Roman burnt the Alexandria down.
Which one? Which one was responsible? Who was the doofus who did that?
Anthony.
No, it wasn't Mark Antony.
Oh, no, they got
the sorry, Michael. Deb reckons Trevor with his axe. Ask him about that. I will. I haven't heard about Trevor's axe. Oh, my. Charles in Dimboola. Charles. Charles, can you tell me, this is for the win, which Roman accidentally burnt part of the Great Library of Alexandria during the Civil War of 48 BC? Or Alexandria? Charles, I can barely hear you there.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's Nero.
It is not Nero. Nero okay. was fond of a fire, but it wasn't him. I'm not sure that he ever got to Egypt. Although we know he went to Greece because he decided that he had to be in the Olympics. So he went to Greece to be in the Olympics and then forced everyone to say that he'd won all the races. Alan in Mount Waverley.
Aye.
Alan, part of the Great Library of Alexandria was accidentally burned by which Roman during the Civil War of 48 BC?
I'm not sure, but about 48 BC, I think Julius Caesar was roaming the world.
You are the winner of our fire-themed history quiz tonight, Alan. Thank you so much and congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
All right, hang on the line, have a yarn with Lockie, and we will arrange your magnet out to you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.